Oh, dogs are barking. Oh, who else is here? It looks like it's a bunch of nifty nerds and gaming goons and joystick jockeys out there in Pixel Land. I don't know why I'm so verklempt noticing all those people here, but I am. Welcome all the people I just mentioned. This is, of course, you know why you're here. This is Double Shift, and it's the show where seasoned game industry vets talk about Rush drum fills, but not with words, just by mimicking the sound. You know what I'm saying, Dino?
No.
Anyways, you know the band Rush, right? No?
Of course.
Okay. But before we get to that, we'll be doing that for like hours today.
Oh, no.
We're going to talk about video games just a little bit. As we confirmed last week, is about the length of the nose.
Hello.
I'm your host, Mikey, a.k.a. DJ Pineapple, now and later. Along with my friend, former colleague, and currently going to get it together, watch it, Danelle. Say hello, Danelle.
Hello, Danelle.
And then there's Jeff, who, just like Ma Bell, has got the ill communication.
Wow.
All of those things, I like taking things that are all the same thing and like putting it in that intro. Do you know where that's from by any chance?
Oh.
Very specific song where that's from.
I do, but I can't remember.
It's okay. It's Get It Together, Beastie Boys featuring Q-Tip from the Ill Communication album. So one of the best tracks ever.
Ever.
Now listen. If you're a fan of the show and you watched last week, Danelle's listening. She didn't watch last week. You know, usually this is where I go, you know, for our YouTube audience. This is where our Instagram, DoubleShiftPod, all one word, and email is, DoubleShiftPod@gmail.com, and like a graphic would appear. And last week it didn't appear. There was a technical difficulty. It wasn't Jeff's fault. But this year it's going to appear. Here, here. Oh, I mean this week and here. We all have technical difficulties. So there, you should go check out our IGs. Send us an email. Today in particular might be a day where I get stuff wrong. And I want to be corrected. I want the fans to write in and be like, you're wrong about that. I spend way more time in the internet than you, and I know better. You were wrong.
Nice. Well,
yeah.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. And then, of course, you could watch this episode and all episodes on our YouTube Double Shift podcast. Subscribe, give thumbs up. Thumbs up. Yeah. Don't give thumbs downs and all that stuff. All right. This week's episode, Danelle.
Yes.
Blandly titled, Is It Really Real? So we're going to be talking about urban legends or fake stories or, you know, made up horror stories on, you know, the spooky kind in video games. Urban legends in general are spooky. So obviously this is a fitting spooky subject for our video games. Are you, outside of video games, do you have any urban legends that you enjoy or like or think are true or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, there's a famous one in Milpitas on Marsh Road.
Yes, there is. Is that the albino community?
No, that's in San Jose.
That's Hicks Road. I heard that's Marsh Road. Okay, what's the Marsh Road?
Yeah. Just that there's like a, I don't know if somebody, I think that's also too, because that movie The River's Edge is based off, I don't know if you've ever seen River's Edge. Of
No, I know about it though. I know that.
That was like the murder in Milpitas, the guy who like murdered his girlfriend up there, and there's like a little river, and there's like a little bridge over there, and supposedly like the urban legend is, when you drive your car there, you can't cross the bridge because your car shuts off, and people always like freaked out and stuff. And we definitely went up there many, many times. There's like a little bridge, and like I said, we would get out and like write our name on it and stuff on the bridge. Our car never turned off, but we did have a weird, like, the road is really long too. It's like probably like, I don't even know, like a couple of miles. Like once you get off of the main, I don't know if it's Calaveras Road, I think it is, but once you get off the main road, it's like this long road for like a long time until you get to the bridge. And when we got there, we got to the bridge and we got out and we were, you know, like I said, we were kind of just looking around, looking around and we turn around and there was this car that pulled up behind us.
Huh.
And we're like, what the, like, where'd this car come from? Because there was nobody behind us for miles. So that kind of like spooked us out. We kind of like freaked out. But there is a house once you cross that bridge. There's a, like, they own like that whole like land out there.
I'm sure those people mess with kids who go up there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But I've been to Albino Town too, over on Hicks Road. I've been to that many times.
I think it's called Albino Town. It's,
well, I know, but
Albinoville.
But I've definitely been there as well.
Yes.
Is there any other ones in the area? There probably is, but that's the ones I come to mind.
Yeah, those two. And I used to get Marsh Road and Hicks Road confused as a kid. Because I think I was improperly told the locations, but anyways, yeah, those are good ones. Those are fun. Mm-hmm. Neither of which I believe are true, which makes some urban legends. Although the Marsh
The Hicks Road one is true. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure a bunch of albino people moved there into that town,
we're gonna get canceled probably. I don't think they're murderous cannibals though.
They're just albino.
Right. It's like one person was there once. Like, oh, it's a...
Yeah, I've never seen anybody in that town. I've driven through it many, many times. Right. I've never seen anybody. Once I think I did see somebody. I don't think they were albino, but there's a little cemetery there too, which is creepy. It's like a really small, like, local cemetery. But I think it's just probably the legend too is because you have to, like, drive miles down that road too to get to this little town in the middle of nowhere. It's probably, like, all the same family living together. I don't know, but...
You know who lives there? John Cena. So that's why you're like, I don't see anyone here. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, I was like, what's the reference? Oh, God.
All right.
Should've known that. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyways, today we're going to talk about urban legends and video games.
There's urban legends in video games?
Of course there is. Listen, we're not going to have enough time to get to all of them, but I've chosen a couple.
Okay.
Thought it'd be a fitting spooky season subject. Silently stalk shadowy streets, summoning sinister spirits, spreading spine-shivering suspense, startling stragglers, sparking screams, shattering serenity, spreading spectral stories, satisfying sadistic specters, seeking shrouded souls, slithering steadily southward, you know.
What in the... How many times did you practice that?
I just read it.
No, wow, that was beautiful, without even stuttering.
Thank you. And the S words are my... I don't pronounce S words well. So now we got our weekly alliteration out of the way. Let's talk about some of these urban legends, gaming myths, and just plain old weird tales from the depths of the internet.
I have a weird tale. It wiggles when I'm happy.
Nice. We all do.
Jeff Turner, what?
Yeah. Finally got his attention. All right, coming up first is a tale of strange workplace occurrence. Picture it, Danelle.
What?
You're working one day, you're waiting for a build. And when you finally got it, things were not as they seemed. This is the legend of the troll in the dev build.
What?
It was a rainy Friday evening during the month of October. QA had been busting their tails. Nothing new there. However, they were in danger of something tragic. Nothing that would surprise them, however, because they could usually see this terror coming. In this instance... They were trying to avoid the dreaded and infamous weekend work. And Jeff, this is where we need thunder sound, or Danelle, if you could do some thunder.
Oh, I don't have any, like...
I have a thunder stick at the studio, too, but...
That's what I was trying to think, if I had anything metal that I could do that with.
Instead, it sounds like trying to, like, start an old motorcycle, or, like, Wilford Brimley snoring. All right. Anyways. Weekend work.
Look at that arm jiggling, Wef. Wow.
Wef.
I call him Wef. Oh, he has one. Oh, dang.
Oh, Wef Price. All right. So, weekend work. They were trying to avoid weekend work. So not all hope was lost, though, on this rainy Friday in October. They were waiting for one final build to come in, and if things were in good shape, they might be able to have that weekend off. Finally, they work a lot of weekends here.
Oh, man. I don't miss that.
No. Yeah, for sure. So after waiting patiently and many dark green American Spirit breaks later, the team finally got the build. They launched the game. Needing to multitask, which doesn't exist, by the way, most of the team started the game and then looked away at their regression list on the other screen. And so when they looked back at the screen where the game was, they saw something that just wasn't quite right. Something that wasn't supposed to be there, Danelle. They knew instantly. They got Rickrolled. A repeating cycle of horror looping and taunting them with its unmistakable 80s cringe. Launch, relaunch, relaunch again. Maybe it will go away. Right. Is everyone seeing this? One called out. What the heck? Another yelled. Everyone was getting Rickrolled. The build was toast, and the team absolutely would have to come in the next day.
Ugh.
Now, if this is something that sounds like it might be true, Danelle, guess what? It is. That happened to us at OnLive.
What?
Although it wasn't that dramatic. There wasn't thunder.
I was going to say, this can't be true.
No, it was true. So we were waiting all day for this build that had regressions. And when we finally got it, it had this, like, Rickroll all over it. Like, in the menus and, like different spots. You would, like, press something and it would be, like, Rickroll. And so, apparently, as legend has it, the engineer who was working on the build and the fixes was being pressured to get us that build, like, as soon as possible. And so he sent a build, because he was like, oh, build by 6 tonight or whatever. But it just had all that troll bullshit in it, so he could buy more time.
I was going to say, so he could buy more time. I knew it. Totally sounds like...
But it didn't... Like, he also thought it was funny, and, like, nobody thought it was funny. We were like, bro. Because yeah. It did mean weekend work.
Yeah, exactly. You made us have to work now.
Oh, the big bosses were pissed. This is, like, one of those things where everyone has their eye on it, right? And so he didn't get fired or anything, but he got...
I was going to ask.
You could hear him, like, getting yelled at, you know.
Did he laugh?
Yeah, he was... Yeah, he was... He didn't gaff. He did not gaff.
Hmm.
Give a frick. anyway, so, yeah, that's an urban legend that actually happened in a workplace environment. Danelle, do you have any scary workplace environments like that, stories like that, or not so much? Mostly shenanigans, it sounds like.
I know. I was trying to think.
Well, we all know what happens then. Nothing.
I know. When you were talking about this, I was like, did something like that happen to me? There must have been. I mean, nothing like that, I don't think. I don't think somebody, like, intentionally messed something up. But we used to do Rickrolls around the office, though, when I worked at Namco, this is when everyone had their own... I want to say pods, but
cubicles.
Yeah. And so you would share a cubicle with somebody, and there would always be like a picture of like Rickroll somewhere. And so, like, this is when you also have, you know, like the cabinets that would pull down, and at the end of the night, you would lock up all your stuff. And so it would always just move around the office somewhere, and someone would open up their cubicle, and there'd be the picture of Rickroll like right in front of them. And then somebody's mouse couldn't work one time, and they lift it up, and there'd be a picture of Rickroll on the bottom of the mouse. Or they'd pull their keyboard out, and there'd be a picture of it there. That thing would just move all around the office. And
that's amazing. It
just became such a thing. I mean, so it's funny that it was with you guys too.
Yeah, and listen, I've had my fair share of laughs at the old Rickroll experience, but when it meant like our lives are being affected in a sense.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, this is like contract work. Mikey has a newborn child, needs
every hour of
overtime. Yep. So I didn't. Yeah. I lived at that place. So it was like, roll me all you want. But I thought the guy was a dork for doing it, and he was, you know. All right, it's time to move to our next creepy story from video game lore. Are you ready?
I am. Can't wait.
This is the haunted Majora's Mask cartridge.
What?
You're familiar with The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask for the Nintendo 64?
Nope.
Quite a polarizing game, actually. It was towards the end of N64. Do I have it? No, I don't. And not a lot of people, like, people love their Zeldas, but this one was, you know, people didn't, it was a hit or miss. Anyways, this is the Haunted Majora's Mask cartridge. The year, picture it, 2010, the year is 2010. A college student known online as Judd Usable, I don't know how to say his name, and I'm going to have to say it several times in this story, so we'll just call him Judd Usable, Judd Usable, who knows, some dude. Browses a weekend garage sale, hoping to find a bit of nostalgia from his youth. There, amidst old tools and yellowing paperbacks, he meets a strange old man, quiet, watchful, kind of like Jeff right here, who offers him a Nintendo 64 cartridge labeled only with the single word scratched in black marker, Majora. So, like, the sticker came off, you know? He had to write with the Sharpie the name of it. So he wrote Majora.
Okay, Majora. Okay, Majora. Right.
Yeah, it's Italian, clearly. So the kid takes it home. He pops it in. He's walking around his room. No, just kidding. And so he pops it in, and there's a save file that already exists. And the name is reads Ben. That's the save file. You know, you get an old game, it has the save files on it still, that type of thing.
Awesome. Yeah.
Ben seems pretty safe, right?
Last name Dover?
yeah, in fact, you ruined the story. No, I was kidding. So at first, everything seems fine. But he's playing the game, and some small weird things start to creep in. Strange textures, reversed sounds. Characters referring to the main character as not Link, but as Ben. What the save file was called. So the guy who bought the game, Jadusable, I'm going to say his name different every time. He's like, what the hey? What the heck's going on here? So he goes online on 4chan, terrible place, and he's chronicling each eerie thing that happens while he's playing the game to his online friends. And as time goes on, it gets weirder and weirder. He just can't even explain it. So one evening, curiosity overcomes fear. He pops in the game again. He tries the legendary Day 4 glitch, which is a glitch in that game that allows the player to explore Majora's world after the final day has passed. So there's days that pass in the game. There's a glitch that you could, like, uninhibitedly explore the world, allegedly. So when he loads in, the clock town is empty. That's the town that all the characters live at. Every inhabitant is gone. Only the wind, the echo of footsteps. Oh, look at that. And the endless laughter of the happy mask salesman remain. Desperate to escape, Jadusable has Link throw himself into a pond to trigger a game over. But when Link drowns, his body convulses, clutching his head like a mask transformation, and the screen flashes the salesman's smiling face again and again. Before him appears a statue, the elegy of emptiness, Link's own stone likeness, lifeless eyes frozen in an unblinking stare. Pause for dramatic effect. that kind of hurt my eyes. So no matter where homeboy turns the camera, the statue is there, always just outside of his view and always following, like a painting. When he finally forces the camera to face it head on, the screen flashes, and the salesman grins, and Link turns to stare through the glass directly at him. Over the next several nights, Jadusable continues to document the game's decent descent into madness. Say that 15 times.
Wow, no.
His character bursts into flames, lying motionless as the possessed Skull Kid watches on in silence. He returns to the old man's house to confront him about this crazy cartridge that he bought, but he finds only an empty home. A neighbor explains the old man moved away years ago after the tragic drowning of a 12-year-old boy named Ben.
Ben? Oh, no.
Now convinced that the cartridge is haunted, Jadusable writes that the spirit of Ben has possessed it and perhaps more online in his little forums and all that stuff. But the ghost begins reaching him outside the game. His computer, his wallpaper, everything changes to that creepy statue face that's staring at him. And Cleverbot, the online AI, begins responding as Ben. Each message is more sentient than the last. Through the statue, the drowned boy boasts of his control, twisting the game, warping the text, and taunting Jad Usable in both dream and waking life. He dreams of the moon children, of himself transforming into the statue, of the old man's silhouette peering through his window at night. Then comes the revelation. Ben has escaped. Using Jada Usable's computer and his accounts, the entity hijacks the narrative himself, impersonating him on YouTube and 4chan, rewriting the ending and declaring, "Now I am everywhere."
Holy
This is all the story. I'm not making this up, Danelle. A final note surfaces from the dude's roommate, Tyler, who claims to have accompanied him to the old man's house that day. He shares what appears to be a farewell. It's a document that Homeboy wrote before vanishing entirely. In it, he mentions videos that no longer exist, deleted, perhaps, by Ben himself. His last known words trail off mid-entry. Its online presence never reappears. Some say the haunted cartridge still circulates online, a file that watches whoever opens it. And somewhere in the cold hum of cyberspace, Ben still waits. And that, dear listeners, concludes tonight's broadcast of The Haunted Majora's Mask Cartridge. Sleep tight. And remember, if your console starts playing by itself, turn it off before it turns on you. What do you think of that story there, Danelle?
I love it. You tell a good story, for sure. That sounds like a story I would want to hear around a campfire at night. Like one of the, what's the Midnight Society?
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a perfect Are You Afraid of the Dark. You just made me just want to have a marshmallow and wrap a blanket around me in front of the campfire. It was great. You had me hooked.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Now listen, this is obviously fake, but it is it's quite a popular online urban legend story. Yes, called Ben Drowned.
Why? Where did this? Is there a backstory to this?
No. Do you know what creepy pasta is?
I don't know. Sounds familiar.
It's like a subgenre of online writing, essentially storytelling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's a popular version of that. But that's what we're doing here today. You know what I mean?
Wonderful.
Yeah, it turns out that any urban legend or creepy thing that happened with the video game probably isn't true. So we're doing, except for the troll in the build at OnLive. That was true.
Oh.
Fucker. All right. So you haven't played Majora's Mask before. But you have played Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yes.
Are you familiar with the computer file sonic.exe executable?
Well, no, but I know what it is.
Well, let me tell you about sonic.exe.
Okay.
Our tale begins with a young man named Tom. See, Jeff, this is why we need thunder and windows rattling, like, you know. Next year, we'll get sound effects. Anyways, our tale begins with a young man named Tom, a devoted Sonic the Hedgehog fan and lover of all things blue, speedy, and nostalgic. Kind of a weird few things to be into, but this is Tom, not us. You can like what you like. One day, Tom receives a mysterious package in the mail. Remember the mail? With no return address. Only his name written in blocky black letters, which is not easy to say.
Blocky black letters.
Inside, a note from his friend Kyle was trembling with warning. "Tom, I can't take it anymore. Destroy this disc before it's too late." Beneath the note, a burned CD labeled simply Sonic.exe. Curiosity wins, as it always does in these stories. Tom inserts the disc into his computer. Remember disc drives? Sorry. This is all old stuff. The familiar Sega logo appears, but the cheery voice, once so full of energy, now stretches into a distorted growl. low and hollow.
Sega!
You know, kind of
oh,
thing.
No.
And the title screen emerges. Sonic stands smiling, and through his eyes are black voids, and then eventually bleeding crimson tears.
Ew.
Behind him, the background burns, the sky aflame, the hills twisted. Below the words, Sonic EXE appear. And beneath that, in faint red letters, I am God.
No, right. No, that's a bold statement.
Yeah. Sonic, that guy, he'll get what's coming to him. So Tom selects new game, as one does when they start a new game. And there's three save files. Then they're the names of Sonic's friends, Tails, Knuckles, and Eggman.
Huh.
I don't know if Eggman is Sonic's friend, but for this story, he is. So Tom starts with Tails. At first, it's peaceful. There's the green hills, the cheery music. And then that music starts, and then the music starts reversing. And then he reaches the level's end, the first level's end. And then he's sucked back into this weird void. And he starts running again in the level. And then he finds a trail of dead animals along the level. Dead, mangled, lifeless sprites everywhere. The cheerful melody slows and then stops. Then Sonic appears. But this isn't the hero that Tom remembers. His eyes glow red. His smile stretches wider than should be possible. Hello, do you want to play with me? It says. Never answer that. By the way, if you ever ask that, like if you just
I know.
You just be like, no. So the screen.
It's just like saying, I'll be back, because you won't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Scream. Shout out Scream. The screen fades to black. A new level appears. Hide and seek. Tails runs, desperate, through dark woods, tears in his eyes. No matter how fast he goes, Sonic is always behind him. When Sonic catches him, the fox screams, and the screen fills with static and blood. The file labeled Tails is now locked, showing only a lifeless image of him, eyes hollow, expression frozen in terror.
Oh, gosh.
That'll be good for a visual fan.
I can't cross my eyes. It hurts.
Now I can't see. So now, Tom selects the next save file, Knuckles. The level name, You Can't Run, appears. Knuckles fights, throws punches, but his blows pass through Sonic's form. An impossible shadow laughing in echoing distortion. When it ends, Knuckles collapses, crying blood. His file, too, turns into a ghostly image. Another soul taken. And then there's Eggman. I am the Eggman. You are the Eggman. I am the walrus. And I messed up the lyrics too, but Jeff won't know because he's not a Beatles fan. Then there's the Eggman, the final file. A maze of corridors and flickering lights. He runs faster and faster, chased by the laughter that loops endlessly until Sonic appears again. The screen freezes. Then the image of Sonic, zoomed close, eyes flickering, appears until the game crashes. Tom stares at the screen. His computer reboots on its own. A new message window opens. A text file appears. It reads, ready for round two? Then his speakers erupt with the distorted SEGA chant once more.
This is awesome.
You can't run from me, Thomas. The room grows cold. He hears scratching, faint, metallic, from inside the computer tower itself. Look at that. Got it. When he pulls the disc out, the label has changed. It no longer says Sonic.exe. It simply reads, Found You. Tom later discovers that his friend Kyle has gone missing. Authorities find no trace, only his computer fried and smoking. The same file, Sonic.exe, sits open on the desktop, looping that same blood-stained grin. Rumor says the entity within it isn't Sonic at all, but something wearing his face. A demonic being that feeds on fear, trapping its victims in digital purgatory. And each time the file is opened, it learns. It remembers, and it spreads.
Oh no.
No one knows where this cursed file came from or where it goes next. But some say, late at night, if you listen closely to your old computer fan spinning, you can still hear that slowed, mocking voice whispering from the shadows of the hard drive. I have found you. All right, so that's Sonic EXE. What do you think? You think that one's real, or?
No.
Yeah, you're right. That's another creepypasta thing. But someone did make a game, I believe. Like, you know, obviously you don't get possessed and your computer doesn't fry and you don't die. But it's like a weird Sonic, evil Sonic game that someone made based on this story. So you can find it somewhere and play it.
What? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Maybe
people are creative.
Yeah, people have a lot of time on their hand. They're, you know, there's a lot of weird ROM hacks of old games that are like disturbing and that kind of stuff. So I had my pick of the litter today, but those are the two that I thought I would tell.
My litter.
Right. Yeah. Woo-hee. Well, has all this terror and blood and fear made you hungry, Danelle?
Yes, actually. My stomach's starting to growl.
Starting to turn and growl. Jeff, do you have any spooky snacks trap beats for us?
Snacks.
All right. I guess that's not like a trap beat. I've done this mistake before. It's more of a boom bap. The snacks boom bap. All right.
Boom snacks. Bap, is that a thing?
Yeah, and I've said that, and then you said that, and I was like, yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. So.
Shame on me.
Shame on us. Shame on Jeff for not having a trap remix available from when I request it. Snacks, for those of you who don't know, if you're new to the pod or you just listen every week, but you get so toasted that you forget everything, is where we pair amazing food with very fun video games, just like one might do in Las Vegas with a ton of money, fine wine, and fancy food. Snacks is spelled with an XXX because it's adults only for this show. If you're a kid and you're listening to this, you shouldn't, even though I think we've cleaned up our act a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so for today's snacks segment, Danelle, I don't think I'm the only one who's experienced this Mandela effect, all right?
Oh, no, it's one of those.
But I remember the Bigfoot pizza being from Little Caesars. Now, let me pause right there and say, pizza, pizza.
Oh, no.
That was just for you. But I remember the Bigfoot pizza being from Little Caesars.
I would concur.
Right? Yes. It, I mean, that's what I thought. But it's not. It's not. And now I'm Christopher Walken. Wow.
Yeah.
It's not.
I love Christopher Walken. That was good.
Whoa. I've done all of the internet sleuthing that I could do, and the Bigfoot pizza was, in fact, from Pizza Hut.
Hmm.
But I have this distinct memory of the last day of school when I was in third grade. My brother was graduating eighth grade, so my mom was planning, like, an epic last day of school for us.
Nice.
Tons of friends over. This new game that came with, like, a big dice foam thing that you threw into the air and then you threw it at people. I forget the name of that game. It was fun though, because, you know, games back then were just violent.
I know.
a bunch of pizza and then a trip to Merlin's Arcade. One arcade that we didn't go to much back in the day, but we did that day for whatever reason. That Merlin's Arcade was the Bad Kids Arcade.
Bad Kids?
Yeah, it's where you bought drugs, allegedly.
Oh,
I was in third grade.
Of course, they go together with games.
Yeah, but that was the one. That was the arcade that people went and, I guess, bought drugs from.
Is this in
Santa
Clara?
San Jose, like Westgate. I believe it was at Westgate Mall.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know anything about that. I was in third grade, you know, but that's what I always heard.
Good for you.
I mean, how dare those kids? Didn't they see the winners don't do drugs screens on all the arcade machines?
It was all over, yeah.
You would think You go in there with all these drugs and you see that and you go, they don't, and then you walk out, never looking up again. So,
oh my gosh.
So, anyways, I swear we got the Bigfoot pizza that day from LC. We'll call it Little Caesars, Little C's. Throw the keys, to Little C's, so we can pull the.
That should be a rapper's name.
It is Little C's. Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Oh.
From Biggie's crew. Plans to leave, throw the keys to Little C so he can pull the truck up front, roll up the next blunt till we can steam on the way to the telly, go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. You don't know that? Come on now. Anyways, I swear, Bigfoot Pizza was from Little C.
I swear.
Oh, nice.
By the moon and the stars in the sky.
I'll be there. Mm-hmm. All for one? One for all. Sure. I think so. So I know that we got Little C's that day because it was cheap and it was right down the street. It was next to Rangoon Video and Pager.
Oh no, this
it really
place.
Was. It really was. Little Caesars is still there, just no more Rangoon Video and Pager rest in
peace. Oh wow, well good for that Little Caesars.
Yeah, for sure. They just in and out $5 pizzas all day or whatever they cost now.
Yeah,
but it couldn't have. It couldn't have been the Bigfoot because that was from Pizza Hut, as I've discovered, and there's no way that we got Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut back in the day was only meant for soccer parties. That's it.
Really?
You only went to Pizza Hut because they had the, the chandeliers and the things. So.
What? I don't know. I didn't go there as a kid.
Right. You didn't play soccer. The only people that went there were people who played soccer. What Little Caesars had was pizza by the foot. Sorry, pizza by the foot, probably. It was three.
Oh.
Yeah, it came. It was like a 3 foot long rectangular pizza. It had different toppings, like sections of toppings, and it came in a long box. And I think we got like two or three of them that day because there was, there's a lot of friends over. So yeah, that's today's snack. Something that existed in my mind but didn't really exist, but actually did exist. And was it good, Danelle? Do you remember?
I didn't have it.
Oh, well, it probably wasn't. back in the day, though, anything was better than Domino's. That's my shots fired moment today.
That was my thing, too. My mom, we only had Round Table. That's the only thing my mom would get was
what
Round
a great,
Table.
What a great mom.
But because we didn't really eat fast food ever, my mom cooked all the time. Right. And we would probably, if we ever did get fast food, it would be pizza. And maybe once every couple of months, actually. But my aunt, who lived next door to us, would order Domino's. And my mom was like, bleh.
Terrible.
And so if we went to her house, they ordered it every Friday. And my mom knew, oh no, I know what's going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was awful. Yeah, it's better now. I like it now. I love their thin crust. It's so good.
That's, hey, Domino's, sponsor us. Back in the day, you guys were so gross. Nobody wanted to eat you. We dreaded every Friday at my aunt's because we knew that we were getting the worst pizza chain on the block. But, hey, it's pretty good now. Domino's.
They have those sandwiches that are so good. I think it's them. I like their Italian sandwich and then the loaded chicken, the habanero mango habanero chicken bites. Oh man, I'm so hungry now.
Can't do it. I just can't. But Little Caesars isn't good either. So this pizza by the foot that I'm remembering probably was better than the pizza is now, but
yeah. Anyways. Breadsticks were definitely better back then.
Oh, dude, breadsticks are still crazy. Bread is S tier.
They're gross now.
You think so? I think they're like the same.
No, they're like really tiny. They're like the size of like the little like hard breadsticks that you get to like dip in like pretzels, those pretzel rods. That's what they look like. Now they're thin. They don't have any. I don't know. They changed their recipe, and I don't like it. I was so upset when I got it last time.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Nothing's as good as it was back in the day.
No.
And every generation will say that.
Yes.
For decades to come.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, that's my snack today. Something that like I remembered incorrectly because it's the Urban Legends show after all.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So they don't sell pizza by the foot anymore, but Saudi Arabia, their Little Caesars franchises still sells pizza by the meter today.
I was just gonna say I knew it wasn't gonna be foot.
Yeah, pizza by the meter.
What?
So now we need to pair this Bigfoot pizza.
Oh, that may or may not exist. Always forget. Always.
I love that you forget. It's great.
Because you just get me so sidetracked with food. I'm just like, it's all in my brain. And then I think about lunch and what I want to eat or what I'm going to have for dinner. I'm actually going to have pizza for dinner tonight.
Pizza.
But I got a frozen pizza. So.
Oh, what kind? Let's judge your
DiGiorno is the only kind I get. I don't like any other frozen pizza. But I got the super thin crust because I really do like thin crust pizzas. And when I was at Grocery Outlet, sponsor us, I was at Grocery Outlet and I was walking around they had this super thin crust. It's all meat though, and I don't like all meat pizzas. But it was like $3.69. And it was the brand that I like, so I bought it, so we'll try it.
You know what you could do is you can get yourself a salad kit of your choice, maybe Caesar salad to go with Little Caesar's theme.
Then
you mix it. I don't think you like salad and pizza, but you take one super
on pizza?
Bread. Yeah.
What?
That's a thing.
I've never definitely heard of it.
Then you put your salad there, and then you take another thin crust, and you sandwich it, and you...
Oh, my gosh.
No? Is that am I a monster for...
No, I would try that.
Yeah. I don't know about Caesar salad, because that's... salad on pizza is definitely like a... Especially like a what do you call it? What's the cheese pizza that has the basil on it? Why am I, like, blanking on that?
Margarita pizza?
Yeah, margarita pizza with, like, salad on it, and you fold it, and you kind of... pencil sharpening it in you. Have about four or five of those and 16 cocktails. All right. The game. So yes, I'm going to tie this all together. The Mandela Effect, the Urban Legends, and Bigfoot Pizza, even though we didn't actually get the Bigfoot Pizza, we just thought we did. So,
yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, the GOAT of this game series, IMO.
Love that game.
Like, I've played San Andreas probably 20 times. Well, I probably started it like 20 times.
Yeah.
I could play that game like once a year. You get to this part in the fake San Francisco where you have to do these drone missions and it sucks. And that's when I usually go,
I didn't get that far.
Yeah. It's David Cross's character actually. But I love the first half of San Andreas. I could play the first half of San Andreas over and over. All the radio stations are amazing.
I know. Oh yeah.
So good. All the characters.
I like the locations.
Yes. My favorite one is the redneck area in the mountains where you can kind of bomb the mountains and get lost up there. And
Albino
I love
Town.
It is. Yeah. It is Hicks Road. And I listen to like the country station while I'm up there.
Yes.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's so good. I love it. Perfect. But how does this all tie in? You're probably thinking,
yes.
You know?
Yes, I am.
So, Bigfoot. GTA has a lot of urban legends throughout its series, and a lot of controversy. We're not going to be talking about hot coffee today. We're going to be talking about the most famous GTA rumor of all time, apparently, which is the legend of Bigfoot in San Andreas.
What?
Yep. Ever since Grand Theft Auto San Andreas hit store shelves in 2004, whispers of something unnatural lurking.
Shit.
I know, we're old. Whispers of something unnatural lurking in its forest have spread across message boards and chat rooms. Nobody knows who started it, Jeff. Just that players began reporting a shadowy figure moving through trees of Flint County and Whetstone. That's Hicks Road, basically, in the game. Some players have said that they've seen him, this massive humanoid covered in dark fur, walking slowly through the fog before bolting into the woods the moment they get close. Others swore that they were attacked by it. They're lying. The screen shaking as the creature charged, but every photo, every grainy video, and every supposed proof of Bigfoot's existence in this game turned out to be fake. Or mods, or hoaxes, or cover-ups. All Jeff. The strange part... Or not the strange part, I guess more of a coinkydink, to use a technical term, is that in the San Andreas game manual, remember those, the books that came with the game?
Yeah.
A name appears in the special thanks section as Bigfoot.
What? No
but
way.
It wasn't meant to reference the creature, it was a nickname for some guy who worked there.
Oh, I was going to say, we did used to use a lot of nicknames when we used to, like, put our names in the books and the credits and stuff, so that makes sense.
Yeah, at Hudson, I was Michael the Armenian Demon Fenton for every game I was credited in, so it makes sense.
I was 333, of course.
Of course you were. Absolutely. So yeah, so that everyone was like, oh, they put him in the manual, but even though Rockstar was like, no, that didn't stop people from speculating.
Interesting.
The same name showed up in the Vice City manual as well, which only deepened the mystery. Players began combing the countryside, mapping out hotspots where Bigfoot was most often sighted. Mount Chiliad's natural arc, Baco Beyond, and the Shady Cabin. The regions were perfect hunting grounds. Thick forest, eerie fog, isolated roads, where the world felt just a bit too quiet. I don't know what that was. Screenshots and clips poured in, flooding forums and early YouTube with evidence that never quite held up under scrutiny. Then, in 2005, Rockstar co-founder Terry Donovan finally spoke up in an interview. There is no Bigfoot, he said, just like in real life. A quote from this homeboy. To most players, that was the end of it, but for others, that sounded like a taunt to them or a hint. And if Bigfoot wasn't real, then maybe something else was. So they kept searching that area and finding nothing. just empty folders and ghost data. Ooh. Yeah, the legends never died. Do this player still wander these misty forests late at night, hoping to catch a glimpse of the impossible? Maybe it's just fog and imagination, or maybe somewhere deep in the woods of San Andreas, a forgotten piece of code is still running, waiting to be found. It's not. yeah, that is our snack and game. Danelle, your thoughts on the snack and game today?
That's very interesting. Of all the things, I can't believe it'd be Bigfoot. I mean, I guess he's one of the most legendary legends.
Yes,
of all time. So I guess I'm not surprised that it made it into video games. But I'm down with the pizza because I'm hungry. And yeah, that lore was really cool. I had no idea about that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. You know. Go try to find Bigfoot in GTA.
I was gonna say I kind of want to play GTA now. When we get off of this later, I kind of almost want to boot it up.
Sometimes it's good to just drive around and change the radio station, and you know.
I never really get far in that game because I don't really stop. Wow, I can't talk. I don't really follow the storyline.
I'll play
for a little bit, and then I'd get kind of bored, and I don't really want. Cause I don't want to do that mission.
Right.
And so I drive around and beat people up. I don't really like killing people. That's not, right. I don't, to me, this is not really fun. I do like beating people up, though, and taking their money. I don't like killing them, though. But
yeah,
it's just fun to drive around and drive all the different cars and see all the scenery and go on all the different businesses. There's just so much to do. I don't ever follow the storyline.
Especially the later
games. You just get lost for hours.
Yeah, you can go bowling and play pool, play darts and stuff. And
buy stuff, buy penthouses, and just like, I don't know. So it's a good time waster.
It is.
Yeah, the music for sure. Now kind of want to just drive around and listen to some music without leaving my house.
Exactly. You could drink.
That's a good one. It's Friday. I'll just do that with some pizza. That's a good idea.
What, some maple... maple pumpkin stout or whatever the hell it's got.
Also bought pumpkin spice whiskey.
Okay.
And I tried that last night as well before I had the maple beer.
I'd imagine that's a fireball vibe.
It kind of is. It's kind of spicy. I kind of didn't like it and almost a little sweet.
Right.
I was surprised because whiskey's usually not sweet. I was expecting it to be like harsh and it wasn't. It was actually really smooth.
Right.
It was actually in the section with all the moonshines, so maybe I should have known that it was going to be sweet.
Yeah.
I went to the whiskey section first, and I was like looking for it, and I couldn't find it. And then it was like looking at I took a screenshot of it, so I was like, what does this label look like? And then I found it. Yeah, it was on the very bottom shelf underneath all of those flavored moonshines. And I was uh-oh. And then when I got it, it was so sweet. I couldn't take more than like a shot of it. The second one, I was like, I had to switch to the beer.
It's probably from mixing, you know?
That's what I was talking to my friend about it, and so she said the same thing. What could you mix with there? I'm going to try and find maybe something to do with it, because it was just too sweet.
Yeah, too sweet, as they say. And
I also did my apple pie moonshine, though, with it.
Right.
I don't know if that would mix, but the apple pie is so good. Mm. Well, I want to dip the shot glass in caramel first or something, and then have an apple caramel apple pie shot. Oh, my gosh. Or anyway.
You can just be rolling at a rave and then get one of those apple caramel lollipops from back in the day. You can get those from Ike Sandwiches. Sponsor us, Ike Sandwich.
Oh, I was just watching a video on Ike's yesterday. I follow them on Instagram.
Getting too hungry now, man. This,
I know.
All right. We can wrap this up. We can do it. We're at Rapido Firo now.
Oh, really?
And what we're going to do is we're going to play a trivia game called Is It Really Real? And today, we're going to welcome our contestant, Donnell. Donnell, I'm going to read you some facts, and you're going to have to tell me, is it really real, or do you think it's an urban legend?
Facsimile or thereof?
A reasonable facsimile thereof, that's absolutely. You know, I was just thinking in my head a minute ago, I was like, I didn't use that. And
you haven't used it, yeah.
You brought it back. So, if you answer all these questions correctly, you win Jeff making you cookies for an entire week, but...
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome.
If you lose the game, you must never eat a cookie ever again.
Oh, I'm not okay with that.
I don't make the rules. I do. Feel free to work the answers and the thought process out loud while you're coming up with your answer. You don't have to. Yep. Yep. But that's pretty much it. I'm going to read you a fact.
Facts.
Oh, no. And then you're going to say, is that real or is that false? Or urban legend or whatever you want to say. All right.
Interesting.
First fact is the beloved Shigeru Miyamoto, the most beloved game designer of all time, was arrested while researching The Legend of Zelda. He was caught wandering around caves and forests near Kyoto with a flashlight to study the environment for inspiration.
No, that's not true.
Are you sure about that?
It sounds too random. I wasn't gonna say he's too old, but this is probably. Well, see, I'm working it out loud. I was like, no, he's too old to be doing that, so no. But then I thought, well, maybe he was younger, obviously, this time. But that just seems too random.
Mm-hmm.
And why would they arrest him for doing that?
Trespassing.
Oh, no.
No. Okay. You're correct. He was not arrested, but he did go around caves and forests near Kyoto with flashlights and notepads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to get inspiration.
Well, that's awesome, though. What a great...
He's the best.
Not... what is the word I'm looking for? Not student, but what a great... gosh, I can't even think of what I'm trying to think of, but it's research. That's what great research to do. That's... awesome.
It is, yeah. The reason
that's why the games are so good.
He's the GOAT. I mean, he's the GOAT. There's no problem.
Probably all right. A GOAT.
Continuing.
Okay.
With Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time originally had a system where Link would age in real time. Every 24 hours in game, he'd grow older by one day. The feature was scrapped because it started causing major save file corruptions during testing.
I'm going to say true, because it sounds like something I've heard of or seen.
Right.
In other games, possibly.
Sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar. So I'm going to say yes, because I could totally believe that it would cause memory issues for saves.
Yeah.
True. Okay. I'm going to say true.
Unfortunately, no more cookies for you for the rest of your life, Danelle.
Oh, damn it.
I made it up.
Hi, baby girl. I can't get up right now.
We haven't done that for a while. The next fact. In the original game, Dead Space, the 12 chapter titles, first letters spell out the sentence, Nicole is dead.
What?
In the original Dead Space, the 12 chapters, their titles, the first letter of each of the titles of the chapter, if you read it down like this, it says, Nicole is dead.
No. Nicole Simpson?
No. No. We all know that.
Well, yeah, but that's probably why I would believe that, because she is dead.
Yeah. You say no.
No.
It is true. It is true. There's a character named Nicole. It's the main character's wife, and it's kind of a spoiler. You find out in the end of the game that she has perished, because you're kind of looking for her, I believe. I haven't played this game in a while. Yeah. I actually worked on it, technically. But, yes, it does say Nicole is dead.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool little Easter egg.
It is. It is. All right, next one, Danelle. We're almost done. Don't worry. In the game Metal Gear Solid 2, the Colonel's AI starts breaking down near the end, warning you to turn off the console and go outside. Players thought their PS2s were actually malfunctioning when this first happened. Is this true or false?
No. True. I think I've seen this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a famous one. It is true.
Yeah.
We'll just
see. I remember seeing it like, what? That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That should be everywhere. It should be on everyone's phones when they're searching on Instagram too long, when you're on TikTok too long. Like, there should be a disclaimer like that. Like, when you're just doing anything for longer than, like, 10, 20 minutes, it should just be like, turn this off and go outside.
Yeah, it's a...
I like it. I want to start doing that, I think, actually.
Three Stooges' hand comes out and, like, what are you... so you go outside. Wake up and go to sleep. you mutton head. All right. Few more facts here. In Fallout 3, there's a hidden radio signal that broadcasts eerie numbers and Morse code. Some claim it predicts real-world events, including celebrity deaths. The frequencies were later disabled in game updates, but players recorded them in the first iteration of the game. Is this true or false?
A fan-made cartridge?
No. In Fallout...
Oh, Fallout. Oh, yeah. So I'm reading too far in advance right now. Yeah, I saw Morse code. That sounds cool. Sure. It's Fallout.
So, unfortunately, it's false. It's true that they have eerie stuff on radio and maybe some Morse code.
Yeah.
It's not a number station. Number station like a, you know, an old... look up a weird number station, Russia, when you get a chance. It's one of my favorite radio station things. It's real. It's very creepy. Look that up afterwards, or watch it afterwards. But there's not Morse code that predicts real world events or anything like that. That part is false. So technically, that is false. Two more for you. A bug in the original Donkey Kong Country sometimes made Cranky Kong replace Donkey Kong mid level, ranting about lazy SNES kids. The myth persists because of a fan-made cartridge that spread on eBay in the early 2000s. Is this true or false?
No.
You're correct.
I was like, maybe it's true because of the go outside and turn off your console thing, but...
Right.
So it could have made sense, but I don't know. Cranky Kong, that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, and that actually is the last one. I had a repeat on here, so we're going to just strike that from the record. You know, unfortunately, you didn't win, but guess what? Since you were such a good sport, you can eat cookies. It's all right. You just won't get
I'm going to make white chocolate macadamia tonight, actually. Yeah.
There you go. Jeff, will she get any cookies from you, or? No, Diddy. All right. Note to self. Never ask Jeff a question again mid-show. I'm just kidding. All right, Danelle, what have you learned today?
Urban legends are fun.
Absolutely. It's a fun episode. We need to add, Jeff, if you can add in the sound effects and post-production. It's going to be like one of those old radio serial dramas, you know, like War of the Worlds or Dragnet.
Yes. We need to have like a cackling radio sound in the background.
Or yeah, something. Exactly. Yeah.
Cackling. That's a
cackling, crackling, pops. All right. Well, and then I guess in that sense, if we have any time, it's time to get to our main topic: Rush drum fills, but not with words, by just mimicking the sound. Ba bam, ba bam, ba bam, ba bam. Jeff, do we have any time for Rush?
I like his face when he said that. He was like, yeah.
Oh, he probably thinks Rush is overrated. Rush overrated, Jeff? Yes or no? Oh, he's, yeah. Saved by beef here. All right, let's get out of here. But before we get out of here, Danelle, I think you should say goodbye, Danelle. That's what I think.
Goodbye, Danelle.
Oh, someone's taken over Danelle and said goodbye for her. Well, we'll leave you with our spooky double shift post. Only a few more weeks of spooky double shift post. May your gamer score be heavy and your backlog be light. May your connection be spooky and your aim precision tight. May your Joy-Cons be as mighty as the ocean, but never should they drift. And for all you QA ghost pirates out there, you'll survive. Yarr! Double shift! Later, house.
I can see this music in a haunted house.
Yes, this is a therapy.